consistently attract soulmate clients, begin showing up on brand, monetizing on your calling. Welcome all spiritual coaches, leaders, healers, light workers, and practitioners to a show that turns you on in your business and amplifies your magnetism. I'm host, catalyst, and spiritual business coach Roslyn Fung, and I'm here to journey with you into the juicy and help you discover where the real gaps are. Ignite your mindset and soul with strategies and systems as each episode takes you to the sweet spot that activates your soulgasmic business. Enjoy this light language activation as we begin to magnetize and monetize.
Hello, hello, my loves. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We've got a really juicy episode on creating new wealth possibilities. Before we move into our episode, I want to have you check in with yourself. How's it been going? We are a little bit more than halfway through the first month of 2022. And I just love to invite you to just notice, how's it been going in your business? Have you set goals and intentions, your big vision dreams for this year? And if you're noticing it's not quite feeling on track, maybe you're needing more clarity in terms of your path of purpose to get to your big vision dreams, and you're ready to explode your visibility and skyrocket your business. This is you. If I'm speaking to you, if you're a coach, a healer, light worker, therapist, practitioner, intuitive, mystic, a way shower, you're really feeling called to, like, this is your year. 2022, it's a magical year. Look at all those twos, right? I invite you to check out and apply for my one-year-long group coaching mastermind hybrid called Soul Ascension Business Academy. This is where you will learn exactly how to move through my Illuminate method to have the aligned messaging, aligned marketing to magnetize your soulmate clients and soul tribe and monetize on your calling. We're going to drop in all the Akasha, soul and energy work, plus, of course, mindset and belief reprogramming. So you're really stepping into your CEO queen self, bring in all the sexy social media strategies, and really anchor in your next level business foundations and systems. So if this feels juicy and yummy, and this is all about community of queens who are inspiring, supporting, collaborating, cheerleading each other on. If you desire a deep, beautiful container like this, let's get you applying at www.electrifymybusiness.com, and we'll get on a call if it's a really good fit. I want to make sure that my clients are receiving results, creating results, and I'm confident to support them in getting there. So it's by application only, www.electrifymybusiness.com. Beautiful. So let's shift into our powerful episode today. Let me ask you these questions. Are you a woman who struggles in your relationship with money? Do you have challenges when it comes to breaking your upper limit regarding your finances? And what are new possibilities when it comes to building wealth? Let's unpack that mystery. So today I have a very special guest. One of my friends, she's from actually where I was born, Calgary, Alberta, Canada, Kaylee Beauvais, who is a financial advisor and who has been in the financial industry for over 14 years, but her love of money started very young. Growing up in a single parent household, she watched her mom struggle with finances and wished that there was something she could do to help. Kaylee decided that no woman should ever have to feel anxious about having enough money to support themselves, their family, or their future.
She chose to become a financial advisor to empower and support women to put an end to their money-related stress. This is her absolute passion, creating new possibilities in people's lives by showing them the ropes when it comes to money. She's here to spark healthy and positive conversations around wealth and investments and help create a world where nobody is limited by their financial situation. Welcome, Kaylee.
Thank you so much, Rosalyn. I'm so excited to be here. I am a big fan of your podcast.
Thank you, love. And I love your podcast. So Kaylee also had me on her podcast, and she's had me speak in her beautiful community. Wealth and Wellness is her the podcast name. And you guys can absolutely, you'll see that in the show notes today, where you can tune in and follow Kaylee as well. Let's start with your story. I would love for you to share a little bit more about your story of how you got to be who you are today and doing what you're doing now.
Absolutely. Thank you. So I guess my story, it kind of goes back. So maybe I'll kind of start from the beginning. Like you said in the intro, it's I grew up where money was really a source of stress. So my mom was a single mom. She didn't receive any sort of financial support from my father. So it really was just her being our sole financial provider for me and my sister. And so it was really, it was tough. And seeing it as a child and my mom going through that was tough. We lived in, you know, subsidized housing. We received different subsidies for helping for back to school clothes and things like that. And so I was made aware more and more of the scenario, because as a kid, you're going places, you're at stores, and it's like, I want this, I want that. And my mom's response was literally, you know, we can't afford it. We don't have any money. And so I started really learning more of, you know, the reality of the situation, and it weighed heavily on her, and I could tell, and I saw it, and it just started, you know, goes more into what we could do and what we couldn't do. And just the stress of, you know, not knowing if she was going to be able to pay rent, or we'd have to hold off on buying groceries until her payday and things like that. And so seeing that, I just like the emotional impact and the, it's like takes you away, right? When you're in that money stress, it's how can you be enjoying your time, you know, as a family and with your children when you're constantly in that state of worry. And so it's almost like I was very intrigued. It's like, wow, money has, you know, this ability to have so much power. And so it was this like fascination it started as. And then as a kid, it was.
May I ask you, when did you realize that? Like, wow, money has this kind of power over us. Like, what age was that?
I think I was like 8 or 9, because I remember like I started.
Girl,
really
you were wise.
I was
like an old soul.
I was listening more and more, and we would go to the bank a lot because you can't check your balances online. So anytime she'd have to check her balance by going to the bank. Mm-hmm. So it was like a regular trip we would go on. We'd go to the bank and I would go in with her, and I would just kind of like, she would show me sometimes the balance. I think it was just the frustration of having to say no and no to everything we would ask for. And I remember sometimes I would dig through the wastebasket because it was open and people would crumple up their slips and throw it in. And I would even like open up people's balances and like look at them and see, I would just feel like so envious when I would see a bigger number, what looked like a bigger number. And it just was like, okay, this isn't though the only scenario, and there are people that have money. And so it was this like, okay, that piqued my interest. And then when I realized, well, my mom, you know, she has her own responsibilities and things that she has to pay for our family. So if I want these things, well, why don't I just get them on my own? And that's when I really kind of set out on, I guess, like my entrepreneurial journey starting very young. So I started tagging along with my sister who could babysit. She was a couple years older than me, and I begged her to go because I knew she got paid from going to babysitting, and I was so envious that I couldn't babysit yet. I wasn't old enough, but I would ask her if I could go along with her, and she very generously agreed. And I say very generously because I would always fall asleep before the parents even got there, things like that. I was too young to be babysitting. But she would give me like a share of what she would earn. And then it was things like, you know, the big snowfalls would happen and there would be kids that wanted to go outside and play. And I'd be like, oh, this is an opportunity. I would go around with my shovel around the neighborhood and start asking people if they want me to shovel for money for their sidewalks and things like that. And then when I was old enough, I started babysitting and I like made the signs and put them up at the convenience stores. Like, it sounds like so unsafe now when I think back to it, but I was just babysitting for, I had my own like as babysitters club on the go then. And
wow.
It was just, yeah, one thing after another. And it was things that I would want it. My friends would have things like a Super Nintendo my best friend had. And I was like, I want one of those so bad. So it was, yeah, going along with my sister, saving up the babysitting money, saving up money from my shoveling and just different business ventures I'd come up with. And then I'd have it like hidden in a tin can in my closet. And finally, I had enough to buy my Super Nintendo. And it was just, it was such an amazing feeling because I did it completely on my own. And it was that moment of like, okay, you know, my scenario is we don't have a lot of money in my family, but I was able to still get a Super Nintendo. Like, my best friend got one and it was a gift from her parents, but I was able to still, like, I still have one too. And it was by my own doing. And so it just ignited in me that idea of the possibilities of money, like you said at the beginning, that I guess I just realized early on the possibilities because I was almost challenging myself and then I was able to achieve. And then it was like, well, I want a dog. And my mom's like, well, if you want a dog, you're going to have to buy it yourself. And so that was the next, you know, goal to save up for.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was, so I saved amazing. Up. Yeah. I saved up, I think it was like $150, and I was browsing. It was the bargain finder at the time. And I was looking for dogs and I couldn't afford a puppy because puppies were really expensive. And there was a dog in there that was something like $300. And I'm like, but mom, I don't have enough. And she's like, just go, Kaylee, like tell them it's your money and it's all you have. And she's like, you're so cute. You just, you know, you might be able to get a good deal on it. So I was like, okay, yeah. Mom. And I went and they did, like, they sold it to me for half price and I bought my dog, Nikki. And so it was just, they kept kind of doing that on and on. And then it was, you know, bigger things I had my sights set on, and it was a car when I turned 16. And so that summer I worked at Subway and Dairy Queen. So I'm like, okay, I don't need to just work one job. I need to work two, because I sort of did the math on what I'd have to earn. And minimum wage was like $5 at the time. So I was working double shifts. I'd go from Subway in the daytime to Dairy Queen at nighttime. And sure enough, by the end of the season, like I had enough to, end of the summer, I had enough to buy a car. But I could only afford a manual transmission. So like a stick shift, or I don't know what they call it now, because the cars don't really come like that, but they were cheaper than automatics. So that's what I bought. And I had no idea how to drive it. And I just sort of managed to kind of stall my way off the lot and things like that. But it was those goals that just kept happening and proving to myself that, okay, anything is possible. And when you have a goal, financial goal, it is still achievable. Whether you're, you know, born into a scenario where you don't have a lot of money, you can still make it happen. And that's what I got to see throughout my whole youth, which was, it was fun and exciting. And it pushed me, I think, to my own limits. And then fast forward to going to school and university, I was doing my BCom, so like a business degree, and I took a finance course. I kept pushing it off because everyone would say, you know, finance was so hard. Like, the intro finance course is impossible. And the professor that had been teaching it had been like teaching it forever. And so there was these like, you know, he's the worst. And he taught my mom finance and he fails everyone. And so I just had this fear of like, okay, I'm just gonna keep pushing this course off. This sounds awful. And then I took the finance course and I was like, I didn't get it. Like we got the pre-work. You have a massive book you have to do before the course even starts. And I loved it. Like, it made sense to me. Like, I found my calling. Like, I just knew, I'm like, this feels so good and so comfortable. But again, it was these ideas that people would put in your head of like, but it's hard, it's impossible, this is such a hard route to go. And so I was so mixed feelings about it. I was like, but I'm really loving it. And I get it, and it makes so much sense, and this is like, feels so right. So I did some more finance courses, and then finishing up university, I saw a job listing on the Career Center website to work with a stockbroker, financial advisor. And I was so drawn to that right away because it just, again, I got this image of like Wall Street in my head and the stock markets and something that was still so intriguing to me, but very unknown. And so I started working with him, and I remember it was probably like just a couple days in, and I'm sitting outside his office, like in kind of, because I was working as his assistant, and just listening to him on the phone and things like that. And I just said to my, in my mind, like it just came to me of, I'm going to do what he's doing. Like I'm not going to be the one sitting in this, you know, desk as someone's assistant. I'm going to be in that role, like as he's lounging back in his chair and chatting stocks and things like that. I was just, I knew 100% that that's where I was meant to be. And at that point on, I just set out learning as much as I could about the industry, about investing, because I thought it was the knowledge I needed, that I needed to really grow my knowledge base to feel comfortable to be in that role. And that's really what I set out doing and kept growing in the role. And I was working on teams and just continued to move up as like associates and working sort of directly with the advisors. And then I got pregnant and I went on my mat leave with my daughter. And I was a single mom. Her father and I didn't really work out. So I'm on mat leave and I know I'm having to go back to work because financially, obviously, that's my only option anyway. And I said to myself, like, I really need to make this matter. If I'm going back to work and, you know, leaving this little gem at home, and, you know, they're so sweet and they're so fun when they're around like 1 year old and they're so cute. And so you're just like, I don't know, is that like that passion again ignited in me of like, I want to do something finally like good for her. And my dream had always been, I want to be the advisor. I want to be the one sitting in that chair, being the, you know, the main person, the lead on the team, like it's my business. And so that's what I set out to doing. So I'm a single mom coming off mat leave, and I was interviewing at all the different firms for their new advisor program. It's called like a rookie program. And it basically means like, you can try it, like you can try being a new advisor. And if you don't succeed, like there's these targets they set. And if you don't make it, you're done. Like, and it's very easy to kind of kick you to the curb because
no pressure.
Yeah. The targets are the targets. And if you don't make them, it's, you don't make the cut. And then big banks kind of go through lots of people in these programs. And so I was just like, okay, I'm willing. And I knew the failure rate was really high. It is not a very high success rate to make it through those different asset gathering and things like that and make it through to having your own business and yeah, making it kind of beyond the rookie program. So I knew that going into it, but I went around interviewing to all these firms and none of them were willing to give me a shot. And it was just so shocking to me because I'd been in the industry by that time, almost 10 years of experience I had. I had done so many courses. I was in the middle, I had started my MBA at the time too. And I just didn't understand. I was like, the risk actually is mine. Like, you're not taking the risk on me. Like, if I don't make it, you guys can just say goodbye. And I'm left with nothing, or I'm starting from scratch. And no one would. And I had this business plan again, because I went to business school. So I created this plan of what I wanted my business to look like. And I was very specific, and it was very much designed for women and around working with women, because, you know, my big passion, like I said, from when I was a kid, was just, I wanted to support women. I didn't want to see women go through what my mom went through. And so my business plan was about working with women entrepreneurs, women who had gone through divorce, women professionals. And I remember going really far in the process at one of the big banks, and the branch manager at the end just leaning back in his chair and thinking. And then he just said, but you know, Kaylee, like, is there really a market for this? And I was just like, so in shock that he would say that. Like, yes, there's a market to work with women. Women make up 50% of the population. Of course there's a market. And
wow.
Just shock being that, like, this was, you know, this wasn't like 1950. This was a few years, like, this was 5 years ago that he was saying this.
Oh my gosh. And 5 years? That's not even that long.
No. And I was just so.
I started my coaching business.
Exactly. I was like in awe that there was still this very heavy masculine energy in the industry, and there wasn't they still weren't allowing women like in, or they were making it so difficult. And I'm like, I have the background, I have the experience, I have the education. But like, this just blows my mind. And so I was just so like in awe and sad. Like, I left feeling really sad and defeated, because I was like, I felt like my vision was so far out. Like, it was like I was trying to create a flying car, and it was a time that we didn't even have cars that worked on the ground or something. Like, I just felt like what I was trying to do was so far out that no one was going to give me this chance, because like the mindset was just not in alignment with what I was doing and what I was thinking of. And so it almost kind of got me, it really shook me to a point where I was just going to give up and just kind of go back to maybe working on a team or something like that. Like, I felt extremely defeated. And then I took some more time, and then I just stuck with it. I decided, you know what? No, there is something here. And the fact that someone is rejecting it and not seeing it, even more so, this needs to happen, because clearly there's still a problem. There's still not a balance enough of women and men in this industry. And so I need to do this. I need to push forward. And I need to sort of, keep going against what the norm is right now in this industry. So I kept on going. I found a firm that just so happened to have a woman who had a very similar kind of beginnings to what I went through, and she was very welcoming to the idea of what I wanted to do. And that's with the firm I'm with right now, which is Raymond James. Mm-hmm. And I'm very lucky to have found that, and they welcome me with open arms and say, yeah, do that, Kaylee, that is important. And they want to see more women in the industry. And so that's where I've been ever since, building my business. And I started from scratch. I started with literally zero, clients, because then you finally push your way in, and I'm like, okay, I got it. And now it's, I don't have a single client. And I was also I'm introverted. I'm shy in this role where it's typically you have people that have more of those like salesy skills where they're outgoing, they're, talk to anyone, and they put themselves out there. And so I was not the typical personality type either going into the role, but I knew that this was something I wanted to do. And I mean, I didn't have an option to fail. Like, I just knew so strongly inside myself that I was going to make it. And you work with the rookie class. There's like, I think there was like 15 of us across Canada. We started together, and now this many years later, there's two of us left standing with our own businesses and things like that. So again, it's that high failure.
Wow.
Yeah. But I knew.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I've been like just sitting here in awe of you. Like, I haven't heard your whole story in its entirety, and I know there's more to it. And I'm like, Roz, just quiet, let her talk. So many golden nuggets here that I know the audience can really like get. What's the word? Not just inspired, but Kaylee, seriously, I feel like just listening to your story, I'm like, oh my gosh, we are so much alike in so many ways. In the sense of what I really believe makes us leaders in our industry, and the character, like your character, and what actually break that down. Actually, why don't we go into commercial and we'll break that down when we come back, because there's so many pieces I want to actually unpack about your story, because I know the audience is going to really like see this in a way where they can take these, we'll say, ways of being, your mindset, and how you have implemented action. Like, all of these ways are so powerful in helping us actually manifest our dreams. I mean, the word that really comes up right now really strongly for me in receiving your story is you're unstoppable, and you will not stop. You will not stop until you absolutely get what you want. And I think that's so powerful. So many of us today give up. So many of us today don't build our perseverance muscle. And entrepreneurship is a game of endurance. It's a game of understanding how to have the energetic capacity
to keep going. And I'm not meaning in a toxic masculinity, which I used to have, the no gain, or like, what is it? No pain, no gain mentality. That's not it. Okay. This is very different. And so when we come back, I'm going to actually just love up and unpack this story, because I think it's so powerful, Kaylee.
Thank you. Absolutely.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
My loves, you know you're here as a soul-led leader to transform this world through the sharing of your passions and gifts. You are here to be in your warrior of light and align your business with your highest self. I'm Rosalind Fung of the show Activate Your Soulgasmic Business. Let's elevate your business to the next expansive level. I invite you to flow into a business soul alignment discovery call with me at rosalynfung.com. That's R-O-S-A-L-Y-N, fun as in have some fun, F-U-N-G, and let's see how I can best hold space for you to align your highest self, magnetize your dream clients, and monetize on your soul mission. Can't wait to connect.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
Do you feel like your emotions are all over the place? That's normal during this abnormal time. There are a number of ways to cope. Maintain a healthy routine, get enough sleep, eat nutritious food, and exercise at least 30 minutes each day. Schedule some time to talk with a friend or family member. And remember, you can always take a few deep breaths to feel more centered.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
All right, welcome back, love. So how are you feeling? Oh my gosh, Kaylee, like I just freaking love your story. I just love that, you know, in its entirety, I just really saw some really important themes that many of us can absolutely learn and embody. So one of the first themes I really noticed was, you know, you didn't let your current circumstances, even at 8 years old, like that is really rare. Most of us soak in and we try to find a way to belong, and we come up with these strategies to help us belong in our family and be alike. And you went against the grain. You saw something different. And even though you were an introvert, it's so cool to see you have that spirit of rebellion, of trailblazer, of going against the grain and thinking outside of the box and experimenting with life and seeing what's possible. These are all really important characteristics that I love to share with my tribe and my clients to help them develop even more. It's like go against the grain, experiment with life. Like you don't know until you try. Let's just see what if.
you know, when I think that perfectionism often gets in the way, it's like, oh, no, but I got to do it right. Or, oh, what if I fail? And you, I'm not hearing you even have that in you. You're just like, let's go for it. Let's do this. There's another way. We can figure it out. And that's, I deeply believe that's like what a natural born leader has, is that way to think outside of box and think differently and go, no, hang on, I can change the circumstances. I can try something different here. That takes a lot of courage, which is another very important characteristic to embody. So I just want to commend you for just how incredibly connected you are to your purpose. Like, you knew that. I bet you if I looked at your past life, Kaylee, I'd be like, yeah, like you, you were probably like a badass warrior queen, just moving through that. Like, that's like, wow. And here you are today as a financial advisor. You know, that might be your quote unquote title, but you're so much more than that. I see you're a community builder. You have lunch and learns, which you've had me speak on, for women globally, and it's powerful to hear, you know, you did not give up on your dreams. You really followed your heart and you found a way. Like, that really reminds me of me being the first psychologist in my province to create an online program. I'm like, yeah, there is a way. This is figure outable to do this ethically and legally. Like, let's figure it out, because I'm not taking no for an answer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I just want to commend you. That's amazing. And I really want the audience to hear, like, you do not have to be an extrovert. You do not have to be outgoing to be building your clientele, building your business. It's really about honoring your energy.
Yeah.
It's about honoring your energy. And I love that you shared, you know, you're an extrovert and you found a way that feels aligned for you. Actually, if you could unpack that a little bit, how is it that you are able to build your clientele so successfully being an introvert? Let's peel back the curtains a little bit.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I almost at first I was disappointed in my, like, cause it's almost like I just knew, you know yourself and you're like, okay, I am not that person. I'm not that person that's just going to be able to put myself in these, you know, situations where I'm going to be the loudest person and chatting to everyone and getting the whole room going. And that's just not me. And it's, you maybe try to be that person, or you try to sometimes fit that, and then you just go, okay, that's not working. That's not me. And it's not
that's exhausting for you.
Yeah, it is literally. And so it's inauthentic. And I think it was just like, I changed the mindset I had, because I was also, I look very young for my age. I've always looked young. Like, people look at me and say, you know, in my 20s, they'd be like, are you a teenager? And it, so it just, it kept happening. And then when I started, finally got the role as a financial advisor, I'm like, okay, maybe I need to cut my hair, because I had really long hair. So I cut it short and I looked even younger. I'm like, okay, this isn't working. So I had these like opposite skills. I'm like, I look really young. I'm an introvert. I'm a woman. And then I just decided to change it around and see those as my strength, because there wasn't the other people that represented that. So I'm like, my strength is I am young, and being a young person means, like you said, I come up with ideas, I can think outside of the box, I can, you know, incorporate new ways of doing things. Being young means that I have longevity, so when I'm meeting with people, they can look at me and be like, wow, she's going to be doing this for a long time, like, we can retire, she'll still be here. Like, so I turned it around into a strength, and then I turned around my being an introvert into a strength, because I knew what it meant is I'm a really good listener, and I'm really good at, you know, asking questions and learning about people. And that was so important to the role. Like, that's such an important skill to have as a financial advisor. You have to understand your client. You have to really get a thorough understanding about them, their family, their goals. And you have to do more listening and less talking. And I already had that skill, whereas a lot of those extroverts were doing all the talking. They were, you know, they'll show you the pamphlet and say, we do this and that, and da da da, and this is my philosophy. And they're just throwing things at you. And instead, I was listening to understand and then creating something that was very reflective of what the person wanted and asked for. And so again, I was like, okay, this is actually a strength. This is my superpower in what I'm going to be doing. And so being able to kind of think about those things that we maybe perceive as weaknesses or we don't see as the desired quality, but see the gifts in those. And I think that that was my ability to see those gifts and then just decide, yep, that's a good thing. It's a good thing that I'm a woman, because there's not enough women in this role and there needs to be more, because there's women out there or people out there that might prefer to work with a woman. So again, it's seeing the thing, changing it, and looking at it a different way.
And thank you for sharing all of that. Like, and not just a woman, but a woman they see themselves in and a woman that they feel safe with. And especially with money, I mean, it is one of the touchiest subjects. And it's so, I think, you know, in fact, I'm a little bit shocked because my husband's also a financial planner. Yeah. And of course, he's male. So, you know, I didn't know that it was only 5 years ago that this is what was happening for female advisors. And so, I mean, probably like that's a general statement, but for your story, like to hear that, if that's happened to you, like how many other female advisors or who want to be in that role have been rejected because they were told, you know, there's no opportunities for them. So that's really interesting. And, I just want to acknowledge you for changing the face of that. That's huge. So I also want to move a little bit more into for our audience. And I know that you go deeper in your podcast about this and when people work with you, but what would you say when it comes to approaching the, let's go with this one, relationship with money around like challenges with breaking your upper limits?
That's a good one. That's one still, that I'm like, because I think it's one that you have to keep kind of coming up against or coming up with. I think, you're saying it is a relationship. So I guess acknowledging it as a relationship with money and a relationship, what does a relationship take? It takes work. It takes time. It takes attention. So I think that's key, that so many of us ignore money or, you know, we don't give it the time and attention it deserves because maybe it's based on money mistakes or money guilt or not being where you have wanted to be. And that puts you in a place where you're like, well, I don't really want to spend time thinking about money or thinking it's wrong to think about money. Especially as women, we have this belief of like, well, that's greedy. That's selfish. Like you're supposed to want to care for others and help others and things like that. And for women to really embrace and say, I love money. I want abundance. It's at first like almost uncomfortable, I think. And that's what I really struggled with personally is that it was uncomfortable. And so I think it's that upper limit is always just, again, having the relationship, taking time, having an awareness of your money, because it starts with the awareness of where you're at. You can't get somewhere if you don't know where you're starting. So I think it is taking a very honest look and just saying, okay, now these are my goals from what I've learned. Again, it's just an awareness exercise. It's not a judgment exercise, but looking at, you know, understanding your net worth or where you stand and saying, okay, and what you've made this year and then saying, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to double my revenue. I want to triple it. And really, I guess then setting out and believing that that's possible. I think that's part of the challenge, I guess, with the boundaries we set is sometimes we don't even believe or accept or know what's possible. We just decide, you know, I've heard that other people in this career make this much or, so it's deciding like to let go of those limitations because those are all limiting beliefs and start from a very open mind set of, you know, what is it that you want? What is it that you want to achieve? And that's what I've set for myself this year. Like a very big, ambitious goal. I said, I'm going to make $1 million. And I've told my daughter Ivy, and I've wrote it on paper, and I've wrote it on my phone. And I'm just like, yep, I'm going to do it. And it's, I don't have to, I'm listening to some Bob Proctor stuff too. And it's, he says, like, I guess you don't necessarily have to focus on the how. It's just first figure out what it is that you want. And I think that's so true with money, and not letting the scarcity mindset creep in, because it will. Everyone, it does. And it's just allowing yourself to really believe in, like, anything is possible. And that's what I love about money, is that it's so true, because I'm someone who grew up in a scenario where money was a struggle. We didn't have a lot. And that's not my reality right now. Like, it's, that's what I love, I think, about money. It's like, in some ways, it's this factor that, like, anyone can have, and it can be easy. And I get to hear conversations and talk to people about money every day. So maybe I'm lucky for that I'm so in it, based on what I do. But it's almost like these people are bringing their, I benefit from the conversations too, because they're people that are talking about money. And I get little almost like nuggets of like wisdom from them too. I see that there's this different wealth energy that different people have. And sometimes, like, it's just, people you'll talk to and they're like, I'm going to make six figures a month in my business. And you're just like, wow, you are. And I believe it and I feel it. So I guess I'm really blessed to be around people and get to have money conversations. And maybe, I mean, if this isn't something you do as a career, it's still good to maybe have money conversations. We take money as something so serious and secretive, and we don't talk openly about it. But maybe you need to find your tribe of people, whether it's your partner, spouse, or people outside of that you really trust, where you can have these money conversations. Because I think that community element of it too, where we almost get to kind of like get each other pumped up about it, and being really wealthy and the possibilities. I think that could really benefit people, because it's something I get to talk to people about money every day, and I love it. So money's on the mind often, and it's this talk about wealth and abundance. But I guess, like I said, if it's not your career, then what if you kind of create your sort of abundance little tribe or group where you guys talk about
that? I love so much of all of these. I really agree with that. Like, be in a community where people, and we do this in our, like, in my group coaching programs, it's like, let's actually boldly state our goals, our financial goals. You know, I do that with my clients. I do that with my girlfriends too, who are entrepreneurs. Yeah. It's like, yes, they closed a 10K client today. It's like, yes, you know, like, it's so amazing to be able to say that. And that's like, quote unquote, normal, right? That's our normal. Like, but if we try to tell that to somebody who isn't in that mindset, it's just, they're in a different mindset, right? So, like, to say that to somebody who isn't in the same community, that could, it's just not the same energy, right? You're not in the supportive win-win-win energy of like, yes, that's amazing. Or so it's like, I agree. Find your tribe, be in a community where you can boldly and courageously share that big ass scary goal. And I agree with you. It's like, have the goal. Mechanics don't matter as much. Know what your intention is and go for it, but don't worry so much about the mechanics, because it can show up in different ways.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love this. And so what would you say, like, let me ask you, who are your ideal clients?
Ideal clients, are definitely women. I love working with women. And it's just women that have really, I think it's that I put out there, this vibe of like women that have decided, hey, I don't want to work with a man, or, cause often the women that come to me, it just so happens, I guess the energy I put out and what I attract is women that have had a conversation with maybe a male advisor, and they felt like they were talked down to. They felt like the person wasn't listening, that they got this like, oh, they're there, we'll take care of it, don't you worry. So women that are just like, had enough and say, no, like, this is my money. I want to be engaged. I want to be part of the conversation. I want to be picking stocks. I want to be talking about stocks. I love it. And there are women, like these women are in their 70s and 80s. Like I had a chat with a woman in her 80s that was talking stocks with me and how she's always been the one to pick the stocks between her and her husband. And I just like, I love it.
Wow.
Like,
yes. Love that. Like, I love that.
These are my people. And I'm aware that not all women want to do that, but I think it's women that want to be, like I said, engaged, want to be empowered, want to take control of their money. And those are the women.
I would like to say, I think it's really important that we as women understand that we have choice to take our finances and know our numbers, get intimate and comfortable with our numbers. You know, I hear a lot about women who just let their husbands take care of the finances completely, you know, turn a blind eye to it. It's like, oh, I'm taken care of. But then the next thing you know is they're separating and all of a sudden they're like, I don't freaking know what to do. And are clueless about their finances and you know, what's available for them. And I mean, already you're going through something so traumatic, trying to learn about finances at that time is not the most supportive time to do that. So, you know, I would invite our audience to step into your financial power, and we'll do a meditation around that in a bit here. But like, know that it's available for you, because when you get really comfortable with your finances, whether you're in business or not, you get elevated and you can call more money in, and you get, like you're listening to Kaylee's story, you get playful with money. You get pleasure from money. You get to say, like, have fun. Money is energy. It's a tool to bring us the desires and experiences that we deeply want. It allows us to contribute to the causes we deeply care about, right? It gets us out of, I mean, your story touched me so much, Kaylee, about hearing about your mom struggling so much. And what I think what was beautiful about that is she included you and your sister in the process by saying, look at these numbers. Like, I literally cannot buy this for you. You know, in some ways you really took that and went, okay, you didn't feel defeated. You were like, let's see what can happen then. Let's see what I can create for myself then financially. And I just feel like, you know, that's that energy, that mindset, that's what creates new possibilities for us in wealth and building our wealth, rather than living paycheck to paycheck, struggling, being victim to our circumstances. I'm just going to say that. Like, you don't have to be a victim. We can take personal accountability, and it starts with getting comfortable with our numbers.
And just being, diligent behaviors. And that's what I always stress when I talk to people about it. It's like money. It's not, the equation doesn't have to be that you need to make a lot of money to have a lot of money. And that's
right.
Also so cool about it is that if you're doing the diligent behaviors, the strategies where you're putting money away, putting money away for you, right? And having these in place, that it doesn't have to be that, oh, you have to make multiple millions just to be wealthy or to have wealth. And there's a great book I read that I highly recommend to anyone listening. It's called The Psychology of Money. And it starts off with a story just like that. It's very much a blue collar worker. And everyone was shocked to find out when he passed away, he was a multimillionaire from just putting money away, investing in blue chip stocks along the way, and just being diligent with behaviors like that. Didn't have to be, you know, a genius when it came to money, didn't have to earn a lot. And yet he was still a multimillionaire.
That's right. Like, it's the compound effect. I've got to check out that book because I love all things psychology, of course, especially around money.
Oh, it's my favorite.
And sales, and it's so good. And so it's like there is a way. You don't have to make a lot of money. You just need to know the strategy so that eventually your money works. You're working smarter rather than harder. Your money works for you, not the other way around. Yeah. And I just am very passionate about getting that message out there that we don't have to work harder. We just need to know the strategies, and we don't learn that in school. That's why my love, connect with Kaylee, connect with your financial advisor. And if your financial advisor, I think this is where you and my husband are very, why I love you both, is, you know, it's all about the relationship. You bring in the human aspect first and foremost. And I hear like a lot of people are saying, I haven't talked to my financial advisor in like 2 years. I'm like, WTF, are you kidding me? Like, I can't even imagine, because my husband like loves to call up his clients, loves to connect with them. How's it going? You know, it's about the relationship and it's very yes. genuine. And I bet you get, like Dan does, like referrals galore because you care. Yes. And it's something I so emphasize about to my community, like build authentic relationships. Don't see people as numbers. Don't see people as, ooh, this is a potential client. Because that energy cannot lie. And then that's like lack energy and that needy energy. So no thanks. Unattachments, my love. Oh, so we're going to move into our meditation. But before we do, Kaylee, I know that we'll have all your contact information in the show notes. But for those who just want to know, how do I like get connected with her? Can you share what's the best ways? I know you're on Instagram. Perhaps share your handle there and another way that people can really just quickly search you up.
Yeah, absolutely. So Instagram is great, and you can message me on there. And it's my handle is just my first name, last name. So Kaylee, K-A-L-E-E, and then Boisvert, B-O-I-S, V as in Victor, E-R-T. And that'll be in the show notes. And then you can send me a note over email too, if you want to be added to my list for, like Rosalyn said, I do lunch and learns virtually. All are welcome to those on different wealth and wellness topics. So that will be my email in the show notes, kaylee.boisvert@raymondjames.ca. And then my website too, you can always reach out to me on there as well.
And your website is?
I think it's a bit complicated. I think it's like raymondjames.ca. So it'll be in the show notes. Okay. It's not an easy one to remember.
And it's probably the link in your bio too, on Instagram. Okay, is, perfect. Yeah. So Instagram is an easy peasy way to connect with Kaylee, and then you can check out all her links in there as well. And of course, in the show notes. So, and perhaps we can even link our episode with me on your podcast on there as well. And I think that'd be great. Okay, so for the last few moments here, I'm going to guide us into meditation with a light language activation to support you, my loves, to embody your next new wealth possibilities. Move into this energy of tenacity, of curiosity, of experimental. So but yeah, breathe in, belly, heart, crown, top of your head there, and then just audible sigh out, relaxing your body, staying open to relaxing more and more and more, dropping anything that doesn't serve or support. Breathing in again, belly, solar plex, heart, expanding, 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 throat, third eye, crown, and dropping down. One more time, breathing through your root this time. Safety. Money is safe. Breathing all the way up your core, right into the cosmos. And just letting go. Beautiful. So I just invite you to tune in to the energy of possibly tuning into what in this episode stood out the most for you. There's a reason it stood out for you. And so trust that. So breathing in what stood out the most for you. And use this as a mirror. Notice the sensations you're feeling.
feel into the new possibilities as you lean in. And for some of you, it might not be comfortable, and that's okay. It might not be a quote-unquote positive feeling. That's okay. Medicine is in the triggers. Everything is neutral until you put meaning to it. And so you get to create new meaning if it doesn't work for you and how you're believing or seeing it now. So breathe that in. And if what stood out to you feels high vibration, feels elevated, lean into that. That's the power you're moving and embodying, this frequency of new wealth possibilities, this frequency of opening up and breaking through to that next level income for money work smarter than rather you work harder. And calling in the communities that support you to be in wealth frequency. Calling in the mentors, the advisor. To support you in feeling safe around money. Knowing that money, when you have a healthy relationship with money, it brings you so much joy. Breathe that in. Marakia sira kura ti mana kura tia. Breathing in and out. Thank you so much for tuning in, my loves. Thank you so much, Kaylee, for sharing your beautiful story and your wisdom and your energy. My loves, do go connect with Kaylee.
Thank you so much, Rosalyn.
Thank you, my love.